Alex Cora on Lucas Giolito, who went eight innings and only allowed four hits. And Wiggy, you were saying earlier, you got your one, you got your two in Mayo, and you got your three. And you just got to figure the rest of that out.
And I think that, you know, it looks like we were all on it. Curtis said it at the beginning in the air. It looks like this team is a real World Series contender. When you look at this team and where they are offensively, I mean, you got guys that can hit all the way through your lineup. You look at defensively, they've been much better.
Your closer is lights out.
Your closer and your setup guy are spectacular, Whitlock and Chapman. You got three guys that can give you legit, you know, six, seven innings. You have an ace in Crochet. This team literally has it all to win a World Series this year. And we all thought that was going to be the Celtics until the Tatum injury.
Yeah.
But now it looks like the Red Sox are going to be the next team. If you ask me who's the next team to win a championship, I would say the Red Sox.
You would?
Yep. Because I think even after the season, they're going to do something via free agency.
What about the Connecticut Sun if they move here?
Well, I mean, if they move here, they're not very good right now, the Connecticut Sun.
I mean, it's pretty clearly it's the Celtics. I mean, they just won. This year they're not going to be great.
But you get Tatum back. And
yeah, but we don't know what Tatum's going to look like when he gets back that first year.
We don't know what Bale looks like in the playoff game.
He'll be fine.
We don't know anything about
these
guys.
But right now, on paper, if you were to tell me who has the best chances of winning a World Series or winning a championship, I would say it's the Red Sox. Because, yeah, I like the fact that Tatum, but if Tatum didn't get hurt, they might have, it looked like they were going to get bounced in the second, what was it, the second round?
Curtis, that is a giant bag of spring training merch there. That's what you're
I ain't
hearing.
Got no
that
merch.
Any
merch I got, I paid for myself this year.
Well, 2 years ago, you did get a big bag of merch.
Yeah. We all got merch.
Nope, just you, Sam Kennedy.
I most certainly
you gonna get
did
merch?
Not.
No, I didn't.
You know
no.
what?
Shoot.
Some of us get merch, some of us don't.
All I get is a look away when I see people.
So who do you think, based on what we're seeing right now, has the best chances of winning a championship in the next, you know,
I think Curtis
let's call
is right.
it
like not
two
the,
to three this, to four
this,
years.
This season is a throwaway, but Jason Tatum is back in next season. I think the Celtics are.
But do you think the Red Sox could win this year?
Yes, I mean, anything can happen. Get me to October, Wiggy.
Right, but are they going to be a playoff team come October?
Let's say the Red Sox make the World Series and they play the Dodgers. What's the pre-series odds?
I bet the favorite is going to be the Dodgers.
Well, probably like 3-4 to 1.
Yeah, they'll be the favorite.
But I mean, yeah.
But
I mean,
in baseball, it's not like the favorite doesn't always win in baseball because you might have your three pitches be lights out. You know, you might have guys that their bats get extremely hot. We've seen it before. And playoff runs with the Red Sox, like all of a sudden you got a guy that is, who was it, Mike Lowe? That one playoff run or championship run he had, like he was lights out. So you can get that in baseball. In basketball, you need your superstar to get you 25 a night. If Tatum struggles, you ain't winning. We seen that this year, right? You need that superstar to get it done. In hockey, you might need that goalie to stand on his head.
The Sterminator.
In football, you need the quarterback to be lights out. But in baseball, you might have a guy who comes out of nowhere and just is like, wow, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
What's more likely, the Red Sox make the World Series or the Patriots make the playoffs?
The Red Sox make the World Series.
The Patriots make the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah.
Definitely Patriots.
Oh, I'm with Wiggy. I think the Red Sox making the World Series.
The wild card is best of three. That's a total crapshoot. And then you got to win the division series and the ALCS.
Yep.
10 wins.
But you have them at...
Wasn't that long ago they caught lightning in a bottle. 2021, Curtis.
Sure did. Lightning crashes.
And Chime, you had them winning, what, six games? Seven games?
Who, the Patriots?
Yeah, so how do you make the playoffs with six wins?
I'm just saying, he asked what is more likely. I said it's more likely the Patriots make the playoffs than the Red Sox make the World Series.
Giving them zero chance of getting to the World Series.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate the translation.
And he's giving them zero chance to get to the playoffs. So how does that work?
I'm giving them a better chance to get to the playoffs than the Red Sox get to the World Series.
Well, we will we'll talk about both tomorrow on this show. We'll be joined by Pop Douglas at 7:30 tomorrow morning and by Craig Breslow at 9. And never mind Alex Bregman, who we talked about yesterday, extension-wise. Why no talk with Chapman? Like, I don't understand why you're not.
Maybe because he's 37.
Who cares?
Yeah.
He hasn't given up a hit in.
No, like, I know. He's been spectacular.
In 2 months.
I'm fine with it, honestly, Greg. Because these guys are all a lightning in a bottle, what you just said. Like, I have no faith that next year he'll be this good. I would just ride that horse till you
That's
get
it.
Ride it all year, ride him like crazy, and then right. say, we'll see how it goes. But if you offer him arbitration, then you get a first-round pick in return anyway. So, if he signs in free agency. So, I don't. To me, it would be Bregman. That is what I would be concerned about this offseason. Our oldest Chapman had a great, great year. It's just closers are just.
A dime a dozen.
No, you just don't know when one's going to pop off right. and one's going to play. You know, Keith Foulke went from, you know, Mariano Rivera to me.
And especially when you're 37 years old. You know right. what I mean? If he was 32, then maybe you say, okay, we'll roll the dice on him that he's going to have another, you know, 3-4 years like this. But
I don't feel like we're rooting against the Red Sox. Here's a 617 text on the Subaru of New England text line. Which says, this is the only show on the station that is the flagship of the Boston Red Sox that actively roots against them.
How are we rooting against? Wiggy and I just had them going to the World Series.
I know.
Like,
that's what I don't get.
Selective hearing.
Why are you hating on my team?
Yeah.
I just think
I would have preferred, like baseball-wise, I would have preferred that they didn't do the schedule reveal on the day of the engagement reveal. I mean, I got a real problem with
bad
that
planning.
When it comes to Rob Manfred.
Yeah,
but,
I'm just giving Manfred some free advice. Yes. Their social team should have been on that.
I just look at baseball.
How would that work?
You led the Dodgers to the World Series.
What do you mean, how'd that work?
Well, so you have 30 Major League Baseball teams that have all planned the entire offseason,
yep.
their PR teams, with the schedule release. And then there's a post on Instagram that's just like, stop, like there was a terrorist attack. We're not going to do it for
a
week.
No, they say, hey, this is going to get buried. We're going to do it tomorrow. It's pretty easy.
Courtney wanted them to announce that opening day in Major League Baseball is going to be on the 13th of right. April.
No, it literally has nothing to do with the fact that it's Taylor Swift. It's just like what normal companies do. It was crazy to me that a massive organization like Major League Baseball would have something that should be pretty big to them buried in the news cycle.
But I think it's good for social. If that many more people yesterday were likely on social media than would have ordinarily been the case on August 26th.
The thing is, Curtis, if you're looking on X or on Instagram, it's Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift.
Well, that's your algorithm.
I think it was everybody's algorithm yesterday.
No,
I don't think it was just mine.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know
it wasn't
they were
mine.
I didn't know they were engaged. Oh. Until you sent that.
I didn't even send it.
I broke the news.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know.
A huge moment in my life.
Mine was Sydney Sweeney in jeans.
Yeah, that's everywhere. It's on my eyelids.
How come Cracker Barrel isn't asking her to save the company? She could save Cracker Barrel.
She could save baseball.
One commercial, Sydney Sweeney could save Cracker Barrel.
I was in the mall and I seen her ad. She got great jeans.
Oh my gosh! Dump it. Don't say that.
Don't say that.
You know,
they
have nice looking jeans, I guess.
Sure,
this is Nate in the truck. What's up, Nate?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, have you guys wondered, especially it made me wonder with the Cole Strange and these picks, what Belichick was trying to do out of all these guys was trying to coach them all up. Why couldn't he be like, because I was watching America's team, and seeing how Jimmy Johnson had all these different personalities and this talent that just came and he was able to deal with it. Bill couldn't deal with it. Look at him now. Where is he at? He's at UNC.
Yeah.
Why didn't he go to like an SEC school, go to like LSU or Alabama? I know he wouldn't have done that, but like, I think that's his demise. I think that's what held him back so much. The N'Keal Harry pick, the Kyle Duggar, the Cole Strings. I'm smarter than you. I'm like, Bill just, why did he do that to him? So I don't understand. I think that was his biggest out of his history and his coaching career. I think that is what is his Achilles heel, was he thought he can coach up anyone.
Well, we did. We talked about this a lot earlier in the show, and I mean, it was forever. The only knock against him really was that he wanted to be the GM and that he couldn't draft. And so I think you're seeing that. And if you're honest, you have to point out that it was the last 5 years here.
Yeah.
When it comes to the drafts, you get an F as an organization. Like
I think
a big giant red F.
Right, but I think the problem is when it comes to drafting and looking at personnel, I think the problem is if you're not here, you're not as focused on it. So in other places, we're not there. So if you look at, you know, Kansas City or Philadelphia, and you start to look at maybe some of their drafts, you'll see a lot of misses for years and years and years and years, and you'll be like, well, wait a second.
So you're saying that if you just take the last 5 years,
yeah,
you don't think the result for the Patriots is at the bottom?
No, I think it is.
Of the NFL?
I think it is, but if you take the last 5 years, then that means you have 20 years prior to that, or however many years prior to that, where you go, Rob Gronkowski,
Julian Edelman.
You know, there are names that you start to see over and over and over and over where they hit on certain guys.
Well, I think Bill had success in take the case of Julian Edelman drafting, you know, somebody who played quarterback in college, and he felt like he had success and he could turn anybody into a great player.
Yeah, but
like
Edelman was a product of Tom Brady. If you think if Bill thinks that he was the reason Julian Edelman had success, then he's delusional.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying Bill, I think, got like bought his own thought his own farts didn't smell. Like I think he bought his own storyline on that.
But yeah. He made guys good, right? I get that.
Well, but Shime is saying
defensive guys he made good.
Tom Brady is what made Julian Edelman good. Tom Brady is what made Gronk good.
No, but I give Belichick credit for finding a guy in the seventh round that was a quarterback at Kent State.
And then turn him into a wide receiver.
And Wally Pipped. I mean, that was Belichick on the sideline of the preseason game where Welker's out there not playing. And Edelman does the kick return. He's like, you ever heard of Wally Pipped? I mean, I'm not going to crap on all of his drafts. I just think that what Belichick said to Ben Volen a week ago was so counter to the reality. It was that as he got more and more time here, he was more and more siloed away from other people that could say, hey, Bill, you're wrong. Like Scott Pioli, I think, could say, Bill, I disagree. Or Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels. Or in the end, when he's taking N'Keal Harry because Todd Graham's a coach out there with Arizona State and he's doing him a favor, or he's taking Cole Strange, that wasn't that there were too many voices. That's that there were too few voices. It wasn't that more people were getting involved. It's that he was failing at drafting. He didn't accept that, and people said you need to fix it, and it bothered him. It wasn't that, you know, Jonathan Kraft said draft Cole Strange.
Right.
It was that he didn't have success. And I also think that he was a huge part of why so many of the guys that they drafted were successful, because maybe a lot of them were reaches, but Bill was such a brilliant defensive mind that he was able to fit guys into specific roles that they would have otherwise not had on other teams.
But Elliot Wolf and Mac Rowe are not off the hook either.
No, they're disastrous. Absolutely pathetic. The fact that both of them still drive with the functioning key card to Gillette Stadium is an embarrassment to the organization, and it's an insult to the fans that pay for those tickets. Every day I see the same guys around Castle Island. They just say, go Pats! They can't wait. They've like counted down to opening day. And the organization just says, oh, ha, 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 you easy marks. We're going to do nothing.
But see, I think that's the thing, Greg, is that we look at it. We all talk about and we give this team credit for drafting. Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay? You said 5 years. All right, go back to 2020 and look at their picks. And you start to go, wait a second. Kenny Pickett, first round, stinks. You know, you start to see some other guys that you look at and you go, well, I mean, Najee Harris, I'll give him, he was a good player that, you know, he ended up going elsewhere. But you start to, like, just look at some of the picks that they have. Broderick Jones, offensive lineman. I mean, I don't really know who he is. And I think that's the difference here is we don't get to see
Joey Porter Jr., pretty good pick.
But Christian Gonzalez, pretty good pick.
George Pickens, pretty good pick in the
second
round.
I like George Pickens, but I bet you're down
there.
I love George Pickens.
Screaming at the top of your
lungs. I love him, but I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Broderick Jones also the starting left tackle,
no,
by the way.
I'm talking about Pittsburgh Steelers fans. They might not have liked George Pickens. That's why they were ready to get rid of him. I'm not saying.
Clay Chase Pool, as you famously said.
He stinks. He stunk. But when you start to.
He was so good, though. For a little bit. Chase Claypool.
Where?
It's Pittsburgh.
And we knew he was in the running for
Chase Claypool.
God in heaven, I know.
He was a stinker.
You did pretty good on my fantasy league.
Can we hear that one more time?
When did you have him?
I had him.
Your fantasy league?
Yeah.
Yeah, when was this?
2 years ago.
Didn't you just, on this program,
rip fantasy guys all the time.
Talk about how fantasy guys are losers?
Yeah, they are. That's why I don't do it anymore. Or last year?
Courtney. That might have been like.
That sounds hypocritical to me.
Maybe it was 3 years ago?
I think it's. He goes.
Hold on a second.
It's not hypocritical. That's why I don't do it anymore, because it was too much. It was like, all right, everybody, like, this is fake. It's fake. What we're doing is fake.
And we knew he was in the running for
Claypool.
God in heaven, I don't even know what
to say. Chase Claypool.
And what? You didn't like the draft party?
It was just like, people took it too, like, Curtis talks about it all the time, the group message gets blown out of proportion. It's like, people are trash talking each other. It's
have
fake.
A fun, will you?
I have plenty of fun. This one,
did you also said everybody there was really short.
What?
You said everybody was short.
Yeah, you said.
I never said that. I said that Boston guys are short.
Oh.
Nice short kings. You did say that.
Yeah. I stand by that.
And Boston is full of short guys and hardos who play fantasy football. And you don't like either.
No, it's not Boston specific about the hardos fantasy players. Those are all over. But men in Boston are statistically shorter than the rest of the country, yes. And I think I also said a lot of short guys are very successful and handsome.
That was when the shuffle came out.
I did.
But Greg, my point is that, like, you can criticize Bill for some of the draft picks over the past few years. I get it. But he was a good GM, right? He was a good GM in the sense of you were able to win 6 Super Bowls with him as your GM. Mm-hmm. So there's no knocking that. Did he miss on guys? Yes, but my point was everybody misses on guys.
Well, there's just, I mean, that was just a boatload of misses. I mean, in the end, where you got.
Oh, at the end, that's what I'm saying.
In 18, you have Sonny Michel, Isaiah Wynn. In 19, you have N'Keal Harry. Those are three straight.
And I'm not disputing that. In the end, he definitely missed.
In the same backfield, you had a running back at Georgia in Chubb, and you chose Sonny Michel.
No, and I agree with you. He definitely missed on guys
at the
end.
If he had listened to you, he probably would have taken Chubb.
And you were right. Chase Claypool, I took him in 2022, and that was like when he started falling off a bit.
Because
I was high on him going into that draft.
I guess when you start to look at it, we see it so closely. Like, we don't follow those other teams' personnel moves every single year. And Bill, yes, he struggled at the end, and maybe that was the part that, like Curtis said, he became a little hard-headed. But you can't tell me that the guy wasn't able to find tons of players throughout his career as the GM of this team. You know, so you have to give him.
And he was brilliant also at knowing that his roster was relatively stacked and taking advantage of other teams' desperation. So he would always trade one of his first or second round picks for 2 firsts. Like, there was always that restocking, and he did a great job.
And I think that's what happens here, is we're just so focused on the Patriots, and we don't look at other organizations. We just go, oh, Kansas City must be good. Look, they got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Everybody in Twitch is telling me their height now. I believe you. If you're 6'2 and higher, that's great for you.
What is acceptable?
I believe Dr. Diana determined me to be 6 feet tall at my last physical.
Yes, I believe that is correct. Uh-huh.
And I weigh 150 pounds.
The Red Sox shut out the Orioles 5-0 in their second matchup in Baltimore. Lucas Giolito struck out 8 over his 8 innings pitched, only giving up 4 hits. Trevor Story and David Hamilton both homered in the win. They've got another one in Baltimore tonight. First pitch at 6:35 with Brian Baio getting the start. Brooksy will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Patriots got their roster down to 53 yesterday. Some notable cuts included 2022 first-round pick Cole Strange and 2025 fifth-rounder outside linebacker Braden Swinson. And yesterday, Jalen Polk and Jelani Tavai were both placed on IR. Jelani has been designated to return from IR, so he's eligible for the 2025 season.
And good news, baseball has announced 12 hours after the engagement that there is big conversation surrounding realignment, which we talked with Sam Kennedy, and a new teams working towards new cities landing a team. Nashville at the top of the list.
Okay.
Which I said and I was roundly mocked.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Would they play in the new stadium?
Yes.
The Titans' new stadium?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
It would be great, right near Broadway.
Well, step up your hair game and call Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor, trusted by Rob Ninkovich and Wes Welker. Change your lettuce, change your life with a free consultation, 1-800-GET-HAIR. That's what's trending. When we come back, we've got your Hill Notes.
Well, tomorrow on this show, Pop Douglas at 7:30 and Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, and the front office report at 9 tomorrow. But Shime, let's get the Hill Notes, and they are brought to you today by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric!
So I messaged Chris Shime yesterday about that Spotify link, and the link he sent me, how do I word this so it's appropriate? It had men being beaten by women with particular objects in particular ways. And it scared the living crap out of me. So if I could actually get the Spotify link and not this, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But thanks.
Yeah, wrong link.
Sorry.
It happens.
Bad fingered the copy and paste button.
It happens.
Congrats to Taylor Swift on her engagement. Wake me up when the Bruins get engaged with winning again.
I feel like this could be a long season for the Bruins.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though. I don't know.
Even when Razor was on, though, it seemed like he's like, yeah, you know, Swayman's got to have a better season. I
I mean, they'll make the playoffs because everybody does. But
right.
I don't know.
But can they win the chip? That's why.
Well, you don't think they're going to make the playoffs?
I think Swayman wins the Vezina.
Wow.
He's back. Goalie Bob.
Elliot Wolf is still here so he can be the scapegoat if the Patriots suck. He can't be blamed for all the drafts because Belichick ran everything up until last year. And in that year, Elliot Wolf drafted Drake May, the Lord and Savior of the Patriots.
This is something I keep hearing. It's not going to work. Nobody is going... everybody with a brain knows that Mike Vrabel is running things. And all Elliot Wolf is doing is making Mike Vrabel's job more difficult.
No, Vrabel's looking at it like, I can fly under the radar.
He's not under a radar.
They didn't make any moves, right? Who gets blamed?
I blame Vrabel.
You might have blamed Vrabel.
Well, I actually blame Kraft.
No. You might have blamed Vrabel or Kraft, but who are 80-90% of the people blaming?
Elliot Wolf. Then
bingo.
Why?
Okay, let's do a poll.
But Jack. Elliot Wolf then falls right into the trap if they're setting it for him.
Mm-hmm.
By coming out there last week and saying, sure, I'd be willing to trade a first round or a couple first rounders for it. Like,
right.
He's falling right into the trap if he's being set up.
But they know, both Kraft and Vrabel, that this guy is going to be the one that's going to take all the slings and arrows. Because when they don't do anything and they say, oh, they're willing to trade a first round or a second round draft pick, who gets blamed?
Who's going to get credit if Travion Henderson ends up being the player that everybody thinks he's
Mike
Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel. Ohio State kid.
It doesn't matter. It could be any Kyle Williams. It doesn't matter. Whoever the Patriots drafted, and this is why it's kind of genius for Vrabel, is whoever does well, it's because he drafted. Whoever stinks, Elliot Wolf drafted him.
If the Patriots spent as much time trying to curate an image of contention as they did actually just trying to be a contending team, they would be an 11-win team this year. They are obsessed with trying to figure out how they can parcel out blame away from themselves instead of just making a better football team.
But did you feel like at least the vibe was different when we were down there on Monday?
Vrabel runs the place. He's got a real feeling. I mean, we all loved Mayo. Obviously, I had him ahead of Vince Lombardi after week one last year. But he never had that. It's such a small thing.
Ah, neutralized. Bam.
But, like, the fact that he doesn't have a babysitter walking him from his office
to Stacey was with him.
Yesterday?
Well, yes. He walked up Monday. He walked him
oh,
in.
Oh, I didn't see him at all.
Yeah, just walked him in. He didn't stay the whole time.
He was there.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was there.
Oh, my bad.
But he certainly wasn't, like, waving in the background.
No.
Like, Gerard, stop saying you're going to burn cash or something like
but
that.
But it's perfect for Vrabel, though. Right?
And cash. Yeah. Burn some cash.
It's perfect for him because...
He was talking about Kraft paying him to do nothing for 3 years.
I agree. He runs the show.
Thunder.
I believe that. I agree with Curtis. He runs the show. But when things don't happen, we're not going to blame Vrabel. We're going to blame Elliot Wolf.
But you just said he runs the show, so you will blame Vrabel.
I mean, I will.
Right.
But most people won't.
I don't know if you will either.
Who?
You.
I blame Vrabel for the offseason.
Oh, did you see that glad handing right before the
interview?
I
mean, the two of you were thick as thieves.
Right. Yeah, but I mean...
Right.
I thought you had an announcement on
but
Instagram.
But I thought that the Patriots should have drafted... My thought was Tyler Warren at number four.
Yeah.
So I didn't agree with that. I thought that they should have traded or they should have put a better pitch in for Terry McLaurin, but they didn't. So I would say, I would say Vrabel, why wouldn't you do that?
It's good vibe, though. Good vibe down there.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, if Vrabel's not the type of dude to shy away from me going,
no,
I don't think that was the right move.
No, I just think that you specifically will blame Elliot Wolf more than you will blame Vrabel.
I won't because I don't believe Elliot Wolf has any power.
All right, we'll see.
None at all.
Because I think I will blame Elliot Wolf. What you described earlier, if something goes bad, I'm blaming Elliot Wolf. If something goes well, I'm giving the credit to Mike Vrabel.
All right, I'm wording this properly. Who do you blame for the Patriots offseason, Vrabel, Elliot Wolf? Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Other?
Me.
Other. Ken. Speaking of the vibe, heading down there tonight for the annual Patriots kickoff gala.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to heading out to Foxborough again. I was just there. I love that drive out there.
Rubbing elbows with the Crafts and others?
You know, we'll see what happens. A little speech from Coach Vrabes.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
Vibes immaculate.
Tell Josh and Dan I miss them.
We will do that, yes.
Taylor Swift. I just turned you guys off because you're playing Taylor Swift. I hate that freaking... Oh. Anyway, I'll put you guys back on once Taylor Swift's off. Thanks, Courtney.
Yeah, I tried this morning. Tried the executive order, but it didn't work.
Imagine letting like one artist get you so mad.
Imagine blaming me when I talked about it during my lead, did not bring her up again. Everybody else did. Just saying.
Congrats.
In the news today outside of Boston, a WEEI producer named Jackson was found to have had an entire brand new ecosystem in his beard. It baffled scientists. But after months and months of research, they found out all the little bits of the Costco dogs just perpetuated and turned into baby Jackson. So Jackson, when you see him, do not be frightened. They're just little baby beard Jacksons that live off of Costco hot dog chunks.
Yeah. Not a visual that anybody wanted,
no, I don't think.
Coco, I love you. You're my favorite on the radio. I think you do such a great job. But man, you're more excited about this Bubbleheads nuptials than you are about the house that you're buying. If I was Santo, I would pack all 7 inches into that banana hammock and get the hell out of Dodge. Love you, girl.
I'm very excited about the house. We just had to do a little bit of a payment today, so I'm just watching that money slip away.
Mm.
But it's a good investment. Yeah. It's a good investment.
But you are focused on the engagement.
Like, of course.
You said there was nothing else in your feed at all. I think I follow you on social media. You were out taking a walk when you got the news, and you had to sit down.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, my best friend Allie called me, FaceTimed me, and I was really, I'm listening to a book right now that's very good, a book on tape. And
Why did you have to sit down?
I was out of breath. I couldn't believe it.
Really.
I was so taken aback.
I see. And you're just happy for her?
Happy for her. There was, for so long, we were told that, she just eats up all these men and then writes songs about them. And it seems like she really found somebody that they're equals in the relationship.
How long does it last, though, really?
Hopefully forever.
But didn't she actually do that? Like, she dated guys and then complained about them for her whole life.
Yeah, if I had an unbelievable talent of writing music and being able to perform, I would do the same exact thing.
I got you.
What if she loses all creativity?
I don't know. Like, I'm a romantic, and I just, like, I think of it like, wow, beautiful, they're getting married. They're deciding to spend...
Wouldn't it be romantic, though, if Taylor Swift, the arguably the most successful woman in the United States of America, fell in love with and married a plumber? Like, wouldn't that be romance?
That'd be cool.
That would be very cool.
I mean, why is it not romance to fall in love with Travis Kelce?
Because...
Love is love, Greg. You know this.
Yeah, she needed a celebrity. Like, she is...
I mean, she didn't even want to meet him at her concert. It was kind of like, wow, look, Travis Kelce put something out in the universe, and it paid off.
That has... Didn't he make a bracelet for her?
Yes, with his number on it.
Does that have stalker vibes written all over it?
No, because she...
Opportunist?
Shoot your shot, baby.
He never was able to give it to her, so then he brought it up.
I think the dude had it in his mind the whole time.
Preach.
Huh?
Preach. Go ahead. I'm listening to you. Preach.
I'm going to lock. He's like a male gold digger. This woman sounds desperate in her music.
Oh, my God.
Such a gold digger. He's one of the greatest NFL tight ends of all time.
She does sound desperate.
No, like, she doesn't.
Preach.
Yeah, she does. If this was a guy.
Songs, if you're writing songs about everybody every time you break up with them, then that's an issue. That gives crazy. That gives crazy.
No, every artist in the history of mankind has issues, Greg.
Well, here's why I'll back. Greg.
Also, you buying into this whole thing, like you love
you're
the romance part of it, is weird.
Yeah,
you guys are just like
no.
It's sad to watch the two of you.
But
you talk about old men energy.
Let me ask the room.
Right, Courtney.
Let me ask the room a simple question.
Yeah,
we all know Travis Kelce, right?
Mm-hmm.
We knew him. We watched him play, and everything else. Did he ever make mention of being a Taylor Swift fan?
Nope.
2 years ago.
Yes, he actually did. There is a clip. You asked me a question.
He never made mention of it.
Yes, he did. I'm telling you, 2 years ago, there is a clip from preseason where the social media team for the Chiefs is saying, who's your celebrity crush? And his was Taylor Swift.
That's
because he figured out she was loaded and desperate.
She was dating Joe Alwyn and living in, like, London.
It's only Cap because Wiggy doesn't believe
it.
Yeah, because so there you go. Now he's going to switch
Wiggy
his question.
That's a great pivot,
Here's
Wiggy.
What I'll say.
I actually lived in London.
He made it a point when he got his podcast with his brother to talk about, I want to meet Taylor Swift.
That was a great pivot.
Taylor Swift had been single 5 years, 6 years ago when he was in the NFL, when he was at a dating show. Why didn't he slide in her DM then?
He wasn't ready.
Stop it. Stop
he hadn't
it.
Matured as a man.
He made it a point. He made it a point when he had his podcast to be like, hey, can anybody hook me up with Taylor Swift?
He's not really Travis. What he said.
I go back to the greatest movie line of all time in terms of actual being perfectly on the nose when Dan Aykroyd and Tommy Boy says, what the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public.
Mm.
This is all so well packaged, and God love them. I hope they stay married for 50 years and they're happy and they have kids and they do what they want. But this is all a production. It's great. Brilliant. They're
smart.
Taylor Swift, maybe the best businesswoman in the world.
It's really not a production, though. We don't know everything that goes on in their lives.
So you think it was happenstance that she happened to hop on a podcast and promote a new album with the brother of the guy she got engaged to?
She's helping out her soon-to-be brother-in-law.
Right. It's a production.
And what girl?
What?
What girl?
That's a production.
What?
Curtis, she's the most famous pop star in the entire world, and these two brothers have a podcast that is wildly successful. Of course she's going to go on it and give them more pub.
Right.
Like, wouldn't you, if Jess had a podcast and you were famous, wouldn't you do it?
Curtis is famous.
I'm not judging. I'm saying it is a production. I said she's the most brilliant businesswoman on planet Earth.
Yeah.
She is such a remarkable success story. I have no hate for her whatsoever. It's just, this is all a production.
Because here's why, take it from the guy who's been married for the longest time. If you truly love somebody or find love, it just happens. You stumble into that person.
Mm.
You have met that person and you just, I was out at a party with Taylor Swift. We got to talking. You know, I found her real interesting.
Not always. Sometimes you gotta shoot your shot.
Also,
what do you mean shoot your shot?
But you met Talina at a time where social media wasn't a thing, dating apps weren't a thing. The day and age that we live right now,
eyesight also for Talina wasn't a thing.
He met Talina at the drive-thru.
No, he didn't. He met her at a party.
Oh, sorry.
No, I went.
Courtney didn't just stumble into
you at a party.
Yes, she did stumble into Santo. She didn't just she
dated. I was dating. It was a full time job for me dating,
right,
and
you,
I met. I saw Santo out.
It was
I liked
a full-time
him.
Job for you.
It was dating right now is a full time job.
Yeah,
it is.
But
and anybody who's like, I just want to meet but, organically. Well, you're not going to meet your soulmate sitting on your couch.
Right, but
you got to get out
don't
there.
But anymore.
Courtney, Greg shops organic.
That's why I like being locked down and taken.
Mm. Wiggy thinks relationships happen like an 80s romantic comedy.
She just said it. She saw Santo out.
I Met Your Mother.
How did you meet your girlfriend, Sean?
On a dating app.
Ooh.
Okay. On a dating
app. On Fumble?
But,
yes,
so,
but that's a dating app. You and her were both on a dating app looking for
but
love.
But I saw Santo actually, and it took Shime the dating on, app for us to go out.
Yeah, but
Shime's
Wiggy,
on Fumble, actually.
Yeah, but Wiggy.
Is that what you said? Sorry, Curtis. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, but Wiggy, you have to like actually like take your shot. You don't. It's not like a meet cute. It's not like, oh hi, how are you? Oh, I bumped into you at the supermarket.
No,
we're in love.
No, but
that
on
was
a,
the office.
No, but on a dating app,
when Idris came on.
Both are on. But if you both on a dating app, you're both looking for love, and you're shooting your shot with people on a dating app. If he's Travis Kelce, he's out and about. He sees her out, and in that, oh, I like her. Hey, can I get my number to her? Or get her number to me, and then they talk. He goes on to a podcast and says. Oh, yeah. Can somebody...
That's not what he said.
Yeah, that's exactly...
Did you listen to the podcast?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
No, you didn't.
He was on his
He said, I wanted to give her a friendship bracelet with my number on it. And Jason said, your football number or your number? And he said, you know the one.
Right.
That's
and
it.
And he was on
can
the
Can I just say this?
Podcast.
No man has a friendship bracelet that hasn't been pre-planned to impress somebody else. There's no organic friendship bracelet.
Yeah, that's
bracelet.
Him shooting his shot.
Right.
He could have shot his shot six
Do you know anybody with a friendship bracelet
he didn't
that's
want
a grown
to
man?
She was dating. She had a boyfriend.
But there was a point in time when she was single.
Not really. She kind of had relationships back to back.
If she was really his crush, he would have shot his shot.
Maybe he did.
5-6 years
Maybe
ago.
He was in the DMs.
Stop, because we would have heard about it.
Maybe he was beating down her door and she was having none of it for a long time. Then finally gave
also,
him a chance.
Also, like CD for me. Oh my God, Coco, are you related to Swift? No. Are you a fan of anything? Like, sorry, I'm passionate. Sorry.
All right.
God, I didn't. Right. It's just people get so triggered about it.
Keep going, Coco. I got you.
Who's getting triggered?
Not me. I'm passionate. These people are triggered.
I got it.
All right, we got to pause.
Yeah.
We'll get to the rest of today's Hill Notes next. Poll up on the social medias, and overwhelmingly, you believe that the Red Sox, like Wiggy believes, that the Red Sox will win the next championship here in our city.
And what about our other poll?
Not the Celtics. What was the other poll? I don't remember.
A lot of people didn't like the verbiage, but Wiggy is right. 88% said that they blamed this offseason on Elliot Wolf.
Right.
Okay.
So, well done, Wiggs.
All right, Shime, do you want to, we got to get dead weight in here. I know there's Hill Notes left, but you want to do dead weight now?
Yeah, let's, okay. Dead weight belongs on the bench, not your waist. Drop weight every week, hit your goal, then keep it off with free support for life. Awaken 180weightloss.com. Greg, the easy dead weight this week is Cole Strange. That would be the easy one. That's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I think the real dead weight is Elliot Wolf. Like, Curtis talked about it all week. Like, I don't know what this guy does here. He's out here saying, yeah, we trade a first and second round pick for players. And then Adam Thielen just got traded. They clearly didn't have any interest in him, I guess. There was zero interest, it seems like, in a lot of the receivers that have been available this offseason. They clearly didn't put in an effort for Terry McLaurin. Not that I think Washington was going to trade him anyways. But, yeah, Elliot Wolf, I believe, is dead weight.
My dead weight is simple. Dead weight is MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. It's time to get rid of that bozo. So, and get guys in the Hall of Fame who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. You brought up the
president wants Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame stat.
Yeah, and I've always how would you say it? I've always beat the drum for Pete Rose, even though I feel like he served his time and he should have been in the Hall of Fame before he passed away. I think Barry Bonds should be in. I think Roger Clemens should be in. I will stand at the top of the hill and beat the drum for Manny Ramirez.
Yeah,
that he should be in. Okay. So yeah, Manfred, we don't need you no more.
All right. Well, that's gonna do it. If we have leftover Hill Notes, Shime, maybe we'll throw them in there tomorrow.
Half price.
All right.
Sounds good.
Pop Douglas on the show tomorrow morning. Craig Breslow on the show tomorrow morning. Jones and Keith are next. Now the time has come for me.